Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us. Happy Monday. It is September 10th. We say that because many of you that are listening on a downloaded podcast basis, you go, what program am I listening to? It's September 10th. Good to have you with us. And we are talking about politics. We are going to be doing a radio broadcast every week, and it's going to be featuring some aspect of politics and how it's going to impact this our industry. And so we've got some wonderful guests lined up, and I'm very excited about today's program. If you did not listen to the broadcast last week, that was over Labor Day, where I had Jerry Ault, who's the president of Logs, on there. He gave a great backdrop, some good information, valuable information. I encourage you to go back, download it, and listen to it. It was a good interview, and I've received a lot of interesting information. I also want to say a big thank you to many of you out there who are passing the word around about our broadcast. We are seeing a significant increase in listenership. We've always been pleased with the listenership. There's been thousands upon thousands of you listening and downloading across the country, but we have had a spike in listenership. It's very exciting, and it's 2 months in a row, so it's beyond a spike. It's now a trend. We had in over 20,000 listeners in the month of August, and nearly 28,000, if I remember the numbers. I don't have them right here in front of me, but very encouraging. We appreciate many of you tuning in and being a part of the broadcast. It dawned on me, I do a lot of conference speaking. Both Alice and I speak at a lot of conferences, and we spoke in the month of August to more people in one podcast, radio broadcast such as this, than in all the conferences I've ever spoken at, totaled up since the beginning of my career, 38 years ago. Golly, I'm not that old, am I? Anyway, but it's amazing the success, and we appreciate you, our listeners, passing the word around about the broadcast. Keep it up. We want to get it up there to over 100,000 is my goal this year, to get over 100,000 listeners every single time we do this broadcast. So we appreciate you doing that. Again, this is Monday, the September 10th, and we're going to get into politics. We've got David Stevens and Austin Tillman. Austin Tillman is the president and chief executive officer of United Capital Markets, along with his partner in crime there, a partner in business. Better watch that. Some of the folks at CFPB may be listening. They're really not criminals there at CFPB. They're actually really great guys. We're excited to have them on the broadcast. David Stevens is also the chief operating officer with United Capital Markets, and we're excited to have them. And they're going to be talking to us about the impact of these two candidates and what it means. And we're going to be focusing on broadly about the industry, but then we're going to start diving into certain aspects of servicing. So it'll be a great broadcast. I can't wait to get to that. And but without further ado, let's get over to Joe Farr. Joe Farr, good to have you on the broadcast.
Morning, Dave.
Good to hear. What's going on in the world of MBS prices today?
Yeah, not a lot today. Both the stock market and MBS prices are about unchanged for the day. We've had a little volatility in the MBS prices, but we're just right where we ended the day on Friday. No real news to speak of. The poor Greece, they asked for aid. They get the aid, and they put together their plans to show that they're going to save money through austerity measures, and then they're told that their plans aren't good enough. So that's the news out of Europe today is the austerity measures, the austerity plans are being challenged by the IMF and the ECB inspectors as being inadequate. So
inadequate.
I guess Greece is going to have to go back to the drawing board.
Well, let's get into last week because it was another quiet week early on, but things kind of got interesting as we got
real interesting.
Yeah,
really, it was a shortened week with the holiday on Monday, and Tuesday and Wednesday were essentially non-events in the market. But Thursday was when the ECB made their announcement of the new bond buying program, and the market felt that was a favorable thing and put their investments in more risky assets. So it was good for the stock market, which gained 240 points and got to, I think, a new four-year high. But it wasn't so good for MBS prices.
No.
The risk-off trade took investments away from mortgage-backed securities, and net-net prices fell about 50 basis points on the day.
And that's one of those times where they would have, could have, should have had the MBS quote line to see that one coming or watch it.
Yeah.
Sorry for slipping a little ad in there, but I'm a big fan of what you do there. So go on. Also, ADP report, employment data came out, right?
Well, and that was encouraging for jobs. And with the jobs report coming the next day, it was a big event. And ADP anticipated over 200,000 new jobs, whereas the forecast was for something far short of that. So the encouragement, as that had an impact on what was expected for the next day, was also not so good for mortgage rates, being that it was showing an improvement in the jobs report. So the next day, the Labor Department estimate of jobs comes out, and it's woefully short of expectations.
Yeah.
96,000 jobs announced when 130 were expected. And to be quite honest, with the ADP report the day before, the anticipation was that it might be even a little over that. So very disappointing jobs report. And with that came a very nice rally in MBS prices. Before the announcement, MBS prices were down 8/32nds.
Yep.
And after the announcement, they shot to being up 24/32nds. Now, ultimately, they ended the day up 16. So about the same amount that they lost on Thursday, they gained on Friday. But with the Fed meeting scheduled for this week, you know, on Friday, it was, just a few days later, that jobs report took on greater importance and the market reacted. Yeah, the market reacted that jobs report was enough to cause the Fed to another round of quantitative easing. So, that kind of goes into what's going to happen this week. And this week, the Fed meeting announcement is going to be made on Thursday, and everyone's going to be focused on that. It's expected now that the Fed will do some form of quantitative easing, and it'll probably include buying of mortgage-backed securities. The question now is more so how much and over what period of time. I think consensus is building that it might be an open-ended deal, which would give the Fed the ability to stop it without having to go through a long, protracted period of time. So look for some amount on a monthly basis without a term to that. If the Fed were to fall short of something like that, an announcement of QE3, I think the market's going to see that as a very unfavorable thing. Both stocks and bond prices would probably fall if that's the case. So Thursday at 12:30 will be the announcement. It's going to be followed by a press conference at 2:15. So that's the big event for the week. In addition to that, there are Treasury auctions tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. They are the 10s and 30s on Wednesday and Thursday, so it's more relevant to the mortgage market. Inflation data comes out Thursday and Friday. And retail sales and industrial production come out on Friday. So it's a big week for economic news, but the focus is going to be, at least until Thursday afternoon, is going to be what's the Fed going to do.
The anticipation of what the Fed's going to do and the rumors and all that stuff. You know what? I was thinking about the ADP payroll report, and they came out with a very bullish number. It kind of reminds me of the Facebook stock. You know what I mean? You don't want to be, as a company out there, giving some predictor or let that your name be tied to that, because I would think there's a little reputational risk that goes along with the, they anticipate it being one thing and then it coming out as something else. So it's just interesting to see if ADP kind of pulls back from their prognostication on what things are going to be. It'll be interesting.
Well, they've gone through this before, and they've been awfully wrong at times. And then they'll have two or three months where it's a pretty good indicator. So it is certainly not something to put a lot of trust in.
Certainly not. And here's the deal. If you're in a payroll service, why would you be out putting on a number that you can't have a lot of trust in? And because you really need to have trust in your payroll service. So it's just an interesting – that's what was hitting me as you were giving me that.
Free advertisement.
It is gas-free advertisement, but, you know, what kind of advertisement do we want it to want to have, and what do we want associated with our name? Dependability would be one for, I would think, that ADP may want to have there. It's just a comment, just throwing that out there for what it's worth. Fed meeting would be a big one. If, folks, you do not want to be going through this kind of rate swings in the environment, the volatility without MBS Quote Line, stay tuned to this message and learn more about how you can get signed up. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you back. We appreciate you being with us each and every week, especially when it comes to this report that comes up. We always love Joe's report. He gives us what's going on, what happened last week, what happened this week, and what we got to look forward to, all that sort of stuff. But Alice, you know what? You don't know what to look forward to because, you know, the vacation schedule that Congress gets is pretty enviable for those of us in the free enterprise system. They've been off for quite a while, so you don't have a lot. What do you have for us today, Alice?
Well, great, Dave. Yeah, they have been off, but, you know, as we were saying, the CFPB has been keeping us very busy.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have enough to pay attention to right now with five proposals that are out there. So for those of you who keep thinking, okay, when is this going to end, these are really the final big five as far as the mortgage industry is concerned for the actual function of my business outside of QRM and QM. So we certainly have to wait and see what's going to come up next for those two components. But these five are really the guts of what's left under DFA. So maybe if we procrastinate long enough on all of them and keep throwing lots of comments out there and you guys, you know, we just change, everybody will focus on politics and this will just drag out, right? We'll get a change in the future.
Right, right.
So real quick here, we have the integrated mortgage disclosure under RESPA and TILA. So as you all know, CFPB has been trying to combine these two, our good faith estimate and our truth in lending disclosure. We've had many samples presented over the last, well, more than a year and a half now. So that comment period is open till November 6th. The biggest component in here that I've got to have everyone paying attention to is this transaction coverage rate.
Yeah.
A TCR is the idea of putting all the fees into this, you know, essentially transaction coverage rate, which is like your APR, only now with all the fees in it instead of just those select fees that we all know today as finance charges. This has an impact into the other regulations. That's the biggest thing, Dave, that people have to pay attention to. So it could be impacting that more loans are actual HPML loans, high-priced mortgage loans, which
right,
those rules require escrow accounts. One of the other rules on here is implementing the high-risk mortgage appraisal. So the TCR could be used for that one as well, which would mean you have to get a certified licensed appraiser. QM mortgages would be excluded. But, you know, it's just this trickle-down of more rules. So that's a tough one. Really read that TCR, think it through with your loans as to the impact. Due November 6th. High-cost mortgage counseling amendment and RESPA changes. This one is the one that would implement a potential 5% fee cap, which includes loan officer compensation for loan amounts over $20,000. It revises this threshold for APR and APOR. So where we're used to Section 32, remember with the 8% threshold?
Yeah.
It's going to drop that to 6.5. Essentially, this is modifying our old Section 32. So it's got a lot of moving parts, this TCR, because it impacts a couple regulations. The good news, I think everybody's pretty happy with the way the loan officer compensation worked out, where you can, you know, leave things basically the way you have them, you know, in terms of having compensation based on the loan amount, and but the rule being giving us some benefits for some compensation, pooled compensation and profit sharing. So that comment period is still open as well. That's open until October 16th. And the easy one, last but not least, ECOA appraisal requirements. It's not a big change. Customers are going to get their appraisal at least 3 days ahead of application, which I think we're already doing, but it has some other nuances in her minor operational implementation. So those are the big five, folks. Get out
the
and
big,
comment.
Alice's big five.
Those
maybe,
are the big
maybe.
Five right now.
TCR, that is really interesting how it can bleed over into some other areas. That's something that, you know, you got to be taking into consideration. Great reporting, Alice.
Well, thank you, Dave, and I'm looking forward to our next discussion.
I know. Well, we got Andy Shell. We got the Prophet Doctor, you know, also known as Yoda. And, I mean, we got lots of new nicknames for Andy Shell, so we can't wait to have him on. And then, yes, get on with Austin Tillman and David Stevens about this. And some of the stuff, especially with what Joe was talking about, there's some things in their notes that I'm just so excited to get to these two guys on and talk about some major leading professionals. But Alice, you are too, and you and your team bring it together, all this information, tracking all this. On behalf of our listeners, I want to say thank you so much for that. And also, Alice, I know how busy you are, and so for you to take the time to dedicate to this radio show each and every week with the demands that are on you. I mean, you're always busy, but it's gotten insane lately. And I know you wouldn't say it. So a special thank you to you for taking the time. And I know you kind of got to exit to take care of some fires that are burning. So special thank you. Have a blessed week and appreciate you being here, Alice.
Thanks, Dave. Well, and those are fires burning at other companies, not at mine. We're,
oh, yeah,
our
yeah. Oh, yeah.
We
for carpet, yeah.
Fire
no,
hoses
no,
over
yeah.
here helping people put out fires.
Yeah, that's not burning at your shop. You are the fire
right.
department. Really?
We're the fire
department,
the fire. Right.
You're the fire. So you are, your 911 calls are going wild. So,
all
they right.
Are.
Well, thank you so much, and
you're
it's
welcome.
Appreciated. And say hi to everyone. Say hi to Jan Wetzel out there, too.
Would I
you?
Will.
And I know she wanders the halls there occasionally, so anyway. We appreciate it. Folks,
you're
we'll
welcome.
Be right back. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from Apple through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
It's good to have you back, and now we get to have the Prophet Doctor on. You know what? The Prophet Doctor is catching on, and he is starting to go. In fact, at the MBA registration conference, if you see Andy walking around at the annual conference, you may see his registration tag say Prophet Doctor. He's getting so well known about it. And so, Andy Shell, good to have you on the broadcast.
Okay.
And you've got a big deal coming up on Thursday. You've got this webinar. And talking, helping mortgage bankers get through all the accounting issues and sorting through what's out there. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, Dave, exactly. Starting this Thursday, running for 3 weeks through Campus MBA, we're launching again our series on mortgage accounting. And Backed by popular demand, exactly. And when you start talking about accounting and the things that go wrong, people, you know, automatically assume the sky is falling, there's something wrong with accounting. And but you know what? Sometimes if falling out of the sky are $100 bills, diamonds, and pieces of gold, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing, yes.
And so yeah. Really, really good financial reports are the path to prosperity, the path to financial success. As crazy as that sounds, you have to know where you're going, and you have to know where you've been to make sure you're going to get there safely. And so this webinar that we're launching starting on Thursday, you can register for it through Campus MBA. Go to the Campus MBA website. It's loan accounting. It starts on Thursday for 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about what you need to know in order to prepare to capture the data, prepare your financial statements, because what's everybody talking about these days? They're talking about the CFPB. And what's one of the first things the CFPB checks? They check the NMLS reports. And one of the NMLS reports is that financial condition report, which means basically your financial statements. And if your financial statements don't tie back to the penny to all the detail off of your HUD-1, you've got a finding. And there's a lot of steps to do it, but it's possible to do it right. We're going to show you how. We do this regularly. We do this for clients all around the country. And we're running a session on how to do it starting on Thursday. So I encourage everybody to go to the Campus MBA website and sign up.
You know what, Andy, I was thinking about that. You know, you were standing, it's like it's raining dollars. For many lenders, these are some of the most profitable days they've had. But if you're standing over a grate and it's raining dollars and diamonds and you can't catch it, the dollars don't land at your feet and they go right through the grate. So, I mean, you're going to be teaching people how to catch all the dollars that are coming at them.
That's very true.
You've got some thoughts. We're going to be talking to David Stevens and Austin Tillman, two guys I know you have a great deal of respect for. And we're talking
about
servicing. So, some of your thoughts about servicing and in light of accounting and all that's going on today.
Well, you know, first off, when you meet David and Austin, you go and you sit down with them, it's like stepping into advanced graduate school.
Yes.
Because both of these guys are so crazy smart. And they go through this stuff, and they know it so, so very well that you hold on to your seat because your brain's about to get expanded. And they can articulate this stuff really, really well. They're great guys. It's great to have them on the show again. And, you know, we're working with mortgage companies all around the country, and people are talking about servicing. Should I retain servicing? Should I not retain servicing? You know, I think I've used the analogy before is that you can either give away, you can either keep the dollar in your pocket or you can give away and get 30 cents. And so that's about what it's like with servicing. You want to retain the servicing, but you've got to do it right. There's tremendous value to be had in retaining the servicing, but you've got to understand the risk. You've got to understand what that servicing hedging looks like. You've got to understand the operational requirements, the approval requirements. I know, Dave, you're helping people get approved by Fannie Mae and Ginnie Mae and just getting the servicing lined up. But, you know, we do validation for commercial banks of servicers as well. Every commercial bank has to make certain that if they've got a subservicer, that subservicer is complying with a service level agreement. It's an OCC regulation. We go out and we help commercial banks make certain that their subservicer is complying with their service level agreement. And servicing is, you know, I've been in servicing for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And it still is collect the payment, remit it to the investor, collect when they don't pay and pay the insurance and taxes. But there's so much more to it now.
So much
that comes along. It's got to be dealt with all the rules and regulations. I've heard some refer to servicing now as the nanny state because we've got to call the customers on 5 days. We've got to call the customers to make sure all the stuff's done right. So anyway, it's a great business. It's an exciting business. It can be a very lucrative business, but like anything to do with finance, mortgage lending, do it right the first time. Don't jump in and hope you did it right. Make sure you do it right the first time. And we can help. Dave and Austin can help.
Yes. And I'm excited to have you jump in and help with this interview that we're about with these two gentlemen here in just a few minutes. We've got a lot to talk about there. But, folks, this webinar that's coming up this week, I cannot stress how important it is. I mean, you can hire and bring Andy in and retain him and pay him high consulting dollars to come in. He's not that expensive. But, you know, that or you can register for this webinar and gain a lot of knowledge. So when you do bring him in, he is there and he focuses in and lasers in on the stuff that's really, really important. So, Andy, thank you so much. I know how busy you are. Please stay tuned here because I definitely want you to participate in this conversation with Austin and David here in just a little bit. We appreciate you, Prophet
Thanks,
Doctor.
David. Appreciate it.
It's good to have
My
you
pleasure.
Out there walking around with your lab coat and your stethoscope and checking out where everybody's at. I appreciate it so much. Folks, we will be right back after this brief break with David Stevens and Austin Tillman.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back with us. Appreciate you very much joining in and telling others about the broadcast. I am particularly excited about the series of broadcasts we're going to be running between now and November 6th. We're going to be doing and focusing all of our broadcasts on this political election and what these two candidates mean to our mortgage industry. We're not telling you which one to vote for, so don't go there. Now, you may think that when you start listening to this discussion, we might be looking at one or another, but we're doing our best to have have you heard this before? A fair and balanced discussion. I've been on Fox just one too many times, I guess. I'm starting to pick up on that. But we're going to do a really fair and balanced discussion about what these two candidates mean to our industry moving forward. And I'm really excited to have Austin Tillman today on here along with his partner in the business, David Stevens. Austin Tillman is the president and chief executive officer of United Capital Markets. He's a 34-year veteran of the industry, mortgage-backed securities markets. He was with Payne Weber, real estate securities, J.P. Morgan Securities. This guy knows so much about this aspect of the business, and we're really honored to have Austin with us. Along with Austin, we have David Stephen, also a veteran of the industry. He's the chief operating officer. So excited to get to the talking points. I'm rushing through this. I got slowed down a little bit. Chief Operating Officer and Chief Financial Officer for United Capital Markets. He began his career. You can't be that old. David, you can't be this old. You said you started your career in 1969 with Arthur Anderson, and then you joined Cooper's Library. And in 1987, you joined Lomas & Nelson. Anyone knows anything about history of mortgage banking, Lomas & Nelson was one of the largest servicers of its time back then, and he was the Director, EVP, Senior Accounting Control Officer. Andy, that just hurts my head thinking about what he used to have to do there. He's also a Senior Operations Officer for the Master Servicing and Insurance Operation Divisions of Lomas, one of the largest mortgage banking entities in the United States at that time. David and Austin, good to have you here. Are you both, do we have your mics on? Are you both live here?
Good morning, David.
This is Dave.
This is Dave. All right.
Yeah,
so we're going to have David and David.
The MBA. We want to make sure your listeners are not confused.
You know what? That is a good point. We got David Stevens, like you always teasingly say to David Stevens at the MBA. You spell your name right. He spells it with a V. You spell it with a PH, correct?
That's right.
Well, you know, we'll have to try to train him right, but, you know, his family evidently doesn't have quite the same education. You learned how to spell it right from the beginning, so... Anyway, just a little fun at our good friend David Stevens at the MBA. So, yeah, it's a very important distinction that you are not the voice of the MBA, and we're thrilled to have David Stevens there in D.C. and hope to have him on the radio here in the near distant future. But let's really get into the discussion here with both of you. Our listeners are wanting to know the impact or the difference for housing and our mortgage industry if we have four more years of Obama versus a new candidate, President Romney, if he were to come in place, or Governor Romney at this point, properly, that's the way I say it. What, gentlemen, can we expect with these two contracts? How would you contrast it?
Well, it's a fantastic question, but it's really hard to answer. Neither one of them has a really detailed housing policy, but I think we can start with Obama because we can at least point to some actions that do speak to his intent.
Now, we do have some data points there, and I think that's important. What are some of the examples of actions that speak louder than the no words? So what are some of the actions?
Well, I think one example is the pressure brought to bear on Edward DeMarco, acting commissioner of FHFA, trying to get him to institute principal forgiveness for underwater homeowners with Fannie and Freddie loans. DeMarco is trying to protect the investors and taxpayers, which I think Romney would support, where Obama is opposed to DeMarco's actions.
Yeah, I sit and look at that. In fact, I called you guys because I did a Fox broadcast on this very point, and you were so helpful providing some really good data points on that. Outstanding stuff. How do we know that Romney would support DeMarco? Do we have any data points on that?
Well, Romney has no clearly expressed housing policy that we can quote. We know that Romney and Ryan are pro-capitalism, but that's about all we know for sure. The Romney website talks less about a government-centric approach to housing and calls for reform of the GSEs, which we think is absolutely necessary.
Yeah. By the way, that's Austin, right?
Yes.
All right, got to make sure we get your voices right so they know who's speaking the brilliance here. Well, you know, why is there no expressed housing policy? I mean, what's behind that?
You know, it's very hard to understand. With the economic importance of housing to the economy, there may be a void that mortgage bankers should fill. Dave Stevens, the president and CEO of the Mortgage Bankers Association, recently stated, while more detail is needed, this provides good insight into his views, speaking on the information on the Romney website.
Joe, I want to get you in on some of this discussion, so I'll toss the mic to you for a little bit here.
Okay. Well, one thing, I went back and looked at the Democratic Party platform and the Republican Party platform, and I just want to read a quick excerpt from the very first section of the Democratic Party platform.
This is so good. Listeners, pay attention to this. Listen to this. This does signal something. Here, go ahead.
This is in the Stabilizing the Housing Market in Hard-Hit Communities area of their platform. For more than a decade, irresponsible lenders tricked buyers into assigning subprime loans. I think that kind of sets the stage there. On the Republican side, they are very much like what you just said, Austin. This is in the housing section of their platform, and it says, you know, the mortgage finance system should be based on competition and free enterprise that is transparent, encourages the private sector to remain or to return to housing, and promotes personal responsibility on the part of borrowers. I particularly like that second part. But with that in mind, whichever person's elected is going to have to deal with the GSEs, and I just wanted to get your sense of, well, how do you compare and contrast how the two might deal with the GSEs?
Well, Obama's had 4 years, and we haven't really seen any action. I think with Romney, we're likely to see more direct action. I mean, Romney has rightfully criticized Obama for a lack of action. One example of inaction disguised as inaction is Treasury's announcement a couple of weeks ago that Fannie and Freddie's goals to reduce their MBS portfolios had been increased from 10% to 15%. And somebody that's not a mortgage banker might say, oh, that's laudable. That's a 50% increase. But us mortgage bankers know that the portfolio is likely to be paying off and running off in excess of 10% anyway. Had the goal not been raised, it would have been easily beaten.
Well, then what's a more realistic goal, given that it's just assets? It seems like they could liquidate those as quickly as they wanted.
Yeah. No, I think something like a 30 to 50% annual reduction of the MBS portfolios would quickly and relatively easily get them out of the portfolio business. Because rates have declined since those portfolios have accumulated, there would likely be some sizable gains realized from the sales.
Well, yeah.
By the way,
and what do you think those might be?
I'm guessing, but probably $30 billion to $50 billion.
Yeah, by the way, when we have two of you on the mic, we got to have one of you muting. I'm sorry for doing that. Just, otherwise, we get an echo in there. And everything you're saying here is just so important. Continue on, Joe. I'm sorry.
Well, and I guess the downside to it is it might put some pressure on rates moving a little higher if they were to come to market with too much too fast.
I don't think so. I think the world is full of buyers that won't yield along with a U.S. Guarantee.
Mm-hmm. So, who would be the beneficiary of that kind of liquidation?
Oh, the taxpayers, clearly. If you keep holding these portfolios and wait for rates to rise, you might end up selling at losses.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And what do you think Romney would do in this regard? Would he follow the advice of selling now?
Well, clearly, you know, having the GSEs reduce their portfolio is important. There are three businesses that the GSEs do: the issuance of securities, the guarantee of securities, and then this portfolio business. And if the portfolio were reduced, the taxpayers would benefit. In fact, the GSEs keep holding these portfolios and wait for rates to rise, the taxpayer might liquidate at losses.
Well, as you start looking at, you know, speaking of CMB or MBS, excuse me, investments, you know, what we were talking earlier, Joe was talking, or Alice was, which one? Joe was talking earlier about, you know, the impact of QE2, and we look forward at what more, you know, the value, well, what it hit, the impact it had on mortgages, but when the Fed bought over $1 trillion of this MBSs, I mean, what's your thoughts on this? It didn't seem to have the impact.
Well, it didn't. I mean, QE2, with its attention to the MBS market, they also bought treasuries at Treasury auction. The clearest signal for us was that when QE2 ended, there was almost no impact on mortgage rates, i.e. rates didn't go up significantly. And the problem for homeowners and potential home buyers is not mortgage rates. Rates are as low as they've ever been, but it's mortgage underwriting and the regulations that it takes now, or the
right
impediments, if you will, to getting a mortgage.
So we could draw a conclusion of if QE2 was a waste, what are we be doing and looking at a QE3? So, you know, was it a waste, and should we see to think and anticipate any benefits of a QE3?
It's hard to see a benefit from QE3. Talking about QE2, I mean, the Fed ballooned its balance sheet with earning assets with a positive spread, so it's probably a neutral event. People can say, look what we did, and most of the population doesn't realize that nothing happened. Just like the GSEs, the Fed should really think about substantially reducing their MBS investment to realize potential gains and free up their balance sheet again in case they need it in the future.
Who would buy all those MBSs?
Well, Dave, the world is clamoring for yield. Whenever you talk to bank portfolio treasurers, they really don't have a place to get yield. In the U.S., PIMCO would likely be a buyer, along with similar bond investing funds, also insurance companies that need longer duration assets. The Chinese and Europeans would also be buyers. They love the yield, especially when it's combined with a government guarantee.
Well, if you look at, you know, the buyers, and then you think about HAMP and HARP, didn't they do some good?
Well, they did, although they were really zero-sum games, where yield was taken away from investors as those MBS were called, if you will, such as our 401ks, and that was basically given to borrowers. Obama seems to like to point out how he gives to certain groups without making it clear who's paying. Clearly, the 401ks and the bank portfolios paid. Romney seems less likely to use Medicare and retirement accounts to pay for, quote, favored programs that really are neutral or negative for the economy.
Joe, I want to get you back in here. I know,
okay.
I listened to that. I go, there seems to be ideologies that are substantially different between these two. Joe?
Well, and the Republicans call for, you know, the free enterprise capital market, et cetera, and the Democrats are kind of looking at the government being necessary. So this all gets back down to the GSEs and bringing private capital back in, and none of that's going to happen as long as the government's guarantee fee, the charge, is too low. And so we've seen that going up, but I just want to get your thoughts on we've kind of seen what the Democrats would do. What do you think Romney would do with the guarantee fees?
That's a tough issue. I mean, you need to address the whole GSE restructuring. If you simply raise the G fees to make room for private security issuers to come in underneath, then it's, well, what's going to replace the TBA market, for example?
Mm-hmm.
If we raise the G fee 75 basis points tomorrow, that'd certainly be enough to leave room for the private investors. But, you know, how are the private investors going to come back in when Fannie and Freddie could lower that fee by 75 basis points next week.
Yeah.
We need to have an express plan. How's that going to work? And if nobody's getting Fannie Freddie mortgages because the cost is so high, where are the TBAs? You know, what are we going to do
to? Without the consistency that goes along with it being a Fannie standard or a Freddie or a Ginny standard, it's hard to have
right.
a TBA market. So it's all pretty complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the single toughest part about it is inaction is not going to solve it. You know, DeMarco's 10 basis point increase last week is, I think, an attempt to take some action, and, you know, DeMarco is in a position to do this, but, you know, he's the conservator for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. He's not necessarily the restructure, but, you know, the 10 basis points is a signal that this is something we might do, but it's really by itself, it's not going to change anything.
You know what? Go ahead, Joe.
Well, in your opinion, what do we really need? What do we need to do at this point?
Well, I think some clear decisions need to be made, and frankly, that's probably the most difficult thing, getting clarity out of Washington. First of all, I think we need to get QM and QRM defined quickly and clearly. No private mortgage securities issuer is going to gear up to any degree until those questions are answered. What are the underlying loans that we have? Next, we need to define how this government guarantee will go away. We could continue to raise the G fee and, you know, get it to 75 basis points, but most would still be reluctant to begin issuing private securities based on the uncertainty of what could happen later on.
It's so good to have both of you here. We've got to take a quick break here, but I want to say we've had as our guests, and we're going to continue right after the break with our guests, Austin Tillman and David Stevens with United Capital Markets. Great discussion on this. We're going to get back talking more a little bit about Romney and Obama in just a minute, contrasting the two. And we'll appreciate you staying tuned right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Good to have you back again. Our special guests are Austin Tillman and David Stevens, both with United Capital Markets. Great to have you gentlemen with us. Appreciate it so much. Let's get back talking about Romney and Obama, comparing the two. Will Romney be any different from Obama when it comes to the matters we were just talking about before the break?
I mean, we know that Obama's avoided tackling the issues, I think, particularly GSE reform. While it's not crystal clear what Romney will do, at least he talks about getting the government out of this business.
Yeah, there's no question that the Republicans have signaled clearly that they want him out. But, you know, I said, what should the government do to resurrect the private markets? I mean, we all recognize we need to have them back, but you know, can they do something to resurrect private mortgage securities market, gentlemen?
Clearly they can. The first thing is to make it clear what they're going to do and then get out of the way. We need, again, as I said before, to
that's a hard thing for them to do. The getting out of the way part is the part that they just really can't keep themselves out of it.
Absolutely. But, you know, again, as I said before, defining QM and QRM, then defining the GSE's role for the future, and then stop changing the rules. Regarding the GSE's roles, we need a transition plan, including how the government guarantee will go away. And clearly there is a lobby in Congress that says that the government should reduce its exposure to housing.
Yeah, there's no question that there's that lobby that's out there. But really, there's this. What is the toughest part about a transition? I mean, we've been addicted to these guys for a while, long, long time. Is that the right? We've been dependent on them, and sometimes now it seems like we're addicted to it. What's the toughest part of the transition?
Well, Dave, if we're going to continue to offer a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, which I think is the current plan, we're then going to need to have a TBA market or something equivalent. Originators need to find or need to continue.
Let me just interrupt right there. For when you say TBA market, for those that may not be familiar with that, TBA stands for?
It's to be announced. It's essentially the forward market for
the
MBA.
Forward market. That's what I was trying to get to. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting. Go on.
No, not a problem. Originators need an efficient way to hedge the price volatility of fixed-rate mortgages in their pipelines. I can't imagine, you know, even last month we had a 30 basis point backup in interest rates.
Right.
No mortgage company could survive. Unfortunately, if you price Fannie Mae and Freddie mortgages such that their market share falls dramatically, then the TBA market gets thinner, goes away. So if you take away the government guarantee of the GSE MBS, and their market share dries up, then the TBA market goes away, and that we can't let that happen.
Then what can be done to maintain a TBA market?
I think it means maintaining the GSEs or one GSE as an MBS issuer, but the government guarantee, but without the government guarantee. And with the transparency of the securities, will need to increase exponentially. This is the kind of solution that private issuers are preparing for their own securities today. Since investors have no faith in Moody's and S&P and Fitch, potential investors are going to need the ability to evaluate the quality of the securities on their own. There are lots of details to getting this going, but it basically means loan-level information about the loans in the pools, 100% assurance that the loans in the pools meet the underwriting guidelines expressed in the offering documents, etc. The GSEs will need to match this kind of transparency that private issuers will have in the future.
Joe, I'm going to toss it back to you and let you get – I know you have a couple more questions in here.
Well, one comment there is the other beneficiary of the TBA market is the borrower and the borrower's ability to lock a loan in before, you know, during the underwriting process. So, you know, a lot of bad goes away without a functioning TBA market. But, you know, and because all the system's all built around that, you know, what else could go wrong? I mean, if the TBA market weren't around.
Well, Joe, if you take away the implied or express government guarantee of the GSEs, why would anyone prefer to buy them versus a private security? And I think you mentioned earlier on that the government guarantee is the foundation of the current market. But assuming that they're both market-based, what advantage would a GSE MBS offer? And frankly, with all the distrust, I think the GSEs will have a very hard sale. And the TBA market could go away, and it has to be there for the mortgage bankers and for the borrowers, as you said before.
Yeah. So, being a creative secondary guy, how would you go about hedging your pipeline without the ability to sell forward?
You know, it's pretty tough. You can cross hedge with treasuries, although in the TBA market, we find very, very few people doing it because you're selling like securities. In the past, life insurance companies were natural investors in MBS but they wouldn't be inclined to make a market in the TBA private MBS. In the old days, Lomas and some of the older mortgage companies sold loans to a wide variety of insurance companies. It was loan by loan or finally in securities later.
Well, if you look at this, let's get back to some of the things that under Romney versus Obama, and what's something else that may be different about these two candidates?
Well, I really hope that the whole regulatory environment might settle down under Romney, where it seems to be getting more and more burdensome under Obama, even at this late date. For example, the CFPB is weighing in on QM, QRM, forced place insurance, LO compensation, servicing standards, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, et cetera, for sure.
Yeah. They seem to be willing to propose regulations even when they don't seem to understand the issue. We need to rein in that avalanche of regulations. I think Romney's willing to do this, but it's going to be hard. But we can be certain that Obama is going to encourage a larger government role.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we're starting to see is that, you know, another 4 years with Obama, we can anticipate more regulation, more government involvement. With Romney, it seems to be a little bit of a different ideology. Less government is a better thing. So, you know, what are some of the other regulators that might be influenced differently by Romney versus Obama?
The Fed, the Treasury, even the OCC, among others, can be greatly influenced by the administration. For instance, when you think the OCC, I think that the OCC should declare Basel III dead on arrival. Why should the U.S. adopt a set of regulatory and capital requirements that's already proven a failure in Europe? There was an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning about this, and I caution people that this is a major issue, certainly for the banks. And Obama seems to be trying to move the U.S. toward this economic and European economic and political model where Ryan and Romney would clearly reverse that trend.
Well, yeah, we sit and look at we've had historical low interest rates under Obama. He's going to try to take as much credit for that we can anticipate. You know, I look at what will mortgage rates be. Will they be lower under a Romney and Ryan or under a Obama and Biden?
Well, if we knew that for certain, we'd be very, very wealthy.
Yes.
But try as they might, you know, politicians really don't directly determine interest rates anymore in the U.S. Balancing the federal budget clearly would have an impact, strengthening the dollar versus other currencies. Controlling the money supply, controlling inflation are things that politicians can influence, and that obviously impacts mortgage rates. But given the conservative values of Romney and Ryan, they have the best chance of keeping mortgage rates relatively low relative to historic rates. But again, that is a wild ass, you know what.
Yep, it is without question. Andy Schell's been on the sidelines listening to the discussion, and you know, knowing him, and he's just itching to dive in here with some great questions and commentary. Andy Schell, do we have you with us still?
Hey, Dave, absolutely. You know, it's been great to listen to the dialogue, and I've been taking some notes along the way. And the thing I'm struck by a little bit is it almost sounds too easy. It sounds so obvious. The points that Dave and Austin are making are very, very valid. I mean, in my perspective, irrefutable. The points they're making are irrefutable. So
right.
The thing I'm stuck a little bit on is if it's so clear for an industry insider who knows what they're talking about to make these points, then where's the disconnect? Why is it something so clear, 2 + 2 = 4, until you get to Congress and all of a sudden it's 7? So how do we effectively take the points made on this program today? And you should make every congressman listen to Lickin' on Lending on September the 10th, because this is the answer to the future. We just need to get the word out somehow.
Yeah, gentlemen?
I think you're right, Andy. I mean, it's so easy for us to see these things, but the general populace really can't. We talked about QE2 earlier, where money was given to one group and taken from another group. Most of the group that lost money in their 401ks don't realize it.
Yeah.
And And it's crystal clear to us, well, the money's got to come from somewhere. Where did it come from?
Exactly.
So, great point.
Yeah, Andy, I'd make the comment that that tax policy is a similar thing, in that it would be very easy to say let's institute a consumption tax or something like that and eliminate all the talk about rates at different levels, et cetera. That's too easy. But that also eliminates the power. And so the housing policy on the Democratic side has carried with it a great deal of power, in that they have promoted, you know, lending in underserved areas, and you know, that, with that comes a lot of power.
Yes.
It's hard to give it up.
No, it's going to be hard to get policies in place that encourage the private investment in this market again. We think there are solutions out there. We talk to people that are working on the private mortgage securities market. And by the way, they don't work for FHFA. They're the people that are actually going to put their own money on the line and do this. And they're waiting in the wings, but putting in a lot of work to get ready for this. But we need some structure and some guidance, or the heavy investment required to launch that is just not going to happen.
You know, I want many of the people inside the Beltway are listening to our broadcast. I mean, we have industry professionals across the country, literally coast to coast, crisscrossing the country, listening to us. I mean, 28,000 in August alone. I sit and look at these kind of numbers, and you have a lot of people's ear, gentlemen, right now. And there's two things I want. There are people wanting to reach out to you, not only for your industry knowledge, and they should. You've got a great business, and I'm going to go there in just a minute. I want you guys to tell us, our listeners, about your business. What do you guys do? And that famous elevator pitch, what is best describes what you do? But also, I want to make sure they have your contact information. And any of you government officials sitting inside the Beltway, you're wanting to get some really good commentary. As Andy said at the opening of the broadcast, these two guys are really smart. But the best part about it, they have a passion about this country. They have a passion about our industry. They have a healthy industry. We're trying to stay apolitical here. We want to focus on what's healthy for this economy, for our industry, and moving forward so that we can move forward. So, gentlemen, I want people to make sure they know how to reach out and get you. But tell us a little bit about your business first. What, I mean, United Capital Markets, tell us a little bit about what you do, what is your business model, and then finally, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, thank you, David. We started UCM, United Capital Markets, in 1996, and we are a consultant to mortgage bankers, strategic consultant to mortgage bankers, bank-owned or private. We also, and our foundation model is to hedge mortgage servicing rights. So that's really our that's right down the middle of the alley for us and what we do, pretty much 365. We've, again, started in 96. We've had many, many customers, and some very large ones and some very, very small ones. What our structure is very efficient with respect to hedging mortgage servicing rights. But this is, you know, the housing market is so important to the economy. Really look at this as a national interest, and frankly, these kinds of conversations are really important right now.
It is so important. So you're right down the middle of your fairway, or your alley, so to speak, is what you do is hedging servicing rights. Am I correct?
Hedging the volatility of mortgage servicing rights.
Right.
Andy said, and we're experiencing it also, the change in or deconsolidation that is taking place in the MSR market.
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, well, I got the drums going, which signaled, the producer signaled we're getting towards the end. How can people get a hold of you? Give them your website and your contact information.
The website is www.ucm-inc.com. And my phone number is 303-268-8402.
Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule.
folks, get out to that website, learn more about the, you know, what this is, and share this broadcast with others. We appreciate you, Austin and David, for coming on the broadcast. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll be back next week. Tom Piercy will be our guest next week. We're going to continue talking about servicing. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.